This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM. This is Bruin News with Miranda Wolfers and
Bridget Mitchell.
Miranda was out on an investigation. A crazy one, that too. But we cannot share that information with the public, though. Not until the reporters have it out. But until then.
This week, we celebrated the birth of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday, the 15th of January. There was no school held on this day in honor of the birth of this man. Did you know that some states combine Martin Luther King Jr. Day with other holidays? In Arizona, for instance, it is also Civil Rights Day. Idaho also celebrates Idaho Human Rights Day on the same date. Some states, such as Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas, also celebrate Robert E. Lee's birthday, which was around the same day. According to the Nobel Peace Prize official website, Martin Luther King Jr. was born under the name Michael Luther King Jr., and his name was changed later in his life. Consider taking the time to read something written or spoken by Martin Luther King Jr. today. Often, much is said about a historical figure, and their actual words can sometimes be lost or misconstrued by the discussions and beliefs surrounding them in popular culture.
Hello, everybody. This week is No Name-Calling Week. This is a week dedicated to all those who just want to be optimistic and give your fair share of compliments all week. We encourage that any day anyways. You don't have to do it just this week. In fact, I encourage you to do it all month.
Or all year.
Or all year. Or for the rest of your lives. That would be amazing too. But this is also about getting out of your comfort zone and complimenting people that you wouldn't really compliment on the daily basis. People that you might have, like, rocky relationships with. Maybe this will even amend relationships. Who knows? Hopefully, it'll turn out good. Have a nice week, everybody.
The Bruin Coffee Cave's tips are currently being donated to the Dornbecker Children's Hospital in Oregon. All tips that students and staff provide go directly to this medical institution. Once the donation period ends, Bruin Radio will let you know how much in total was collected and donated. The Cave is also selling coffee at prices discounted to $1 if, and only if, you are a student studying after school. As a selling point to student athletes and weightlifters, the Cave is offering Bruin Boost protein drinks in small, medium, and large sizes. Bruin students and staff also need to know that the Bruin Coffee Cave acquires its coffee beans from the Chetco Coffee Roasters in Brookings, Oregon.
According to the Chetco Coffee page on the Square Up website, Chetco Coffee Roasters roast and sell organic, fair trade certified coffee beans. According to the Wild Rivers Coast Art website, the Chetco Coffee Roasters are local enough to have participated in the 2016 Festival of Art and Stout Park selling coffee to park goers. Bruin Radio also found a website that appears to be associated with the Brookings Harbor Soccer League. The site listed Chetco Coffee Roasters as sponsors of the Chetco Harbor Soccer League team. The Oregon Department of Agriculture lists businesses with food safety program licenses, and Bruin Radio reporters were unable to find a business by the name of Chetco Coffee Roasters in the state's database of business with the license. We searched the fairtradecertified.org website and similarly were unable to find a business by the name of Chetco Coffee Roasters. The Oregon Secretary of State's corporation divisions offer an online database that lists active and inactive business names, and Bruin Radio was unable to find the Chetco Coffee Roasters in the database. We called the Oregon Secretary of State Corporation Division to confirm, and an associate told us that the student reporters over the phone that they too could not find a business license for that business. Bruin Radio did not stop there. reporter Bridget Mitchell with reporter Ivan Mann listening in. Called the phone number of the Chetco Coffee Roasters and talked to a spokeswoman for the company. A spokeswoman for the company told reporters that they are family-owned by the Snyder family, and that Chetco Coffee Roasters sell their beans all over town. Other businesses that Chetco Coffee Roasters told us they sell to include Vista Pub, the Black Trumpet Bistro, the local farmers market, and Delnor Office Supplies. When asked for their business license number, the spokesperson did not know where to find their business license, and they couldn't provide us with their license number. While Chetco Coffee Roasters do not have an organic license themselves, they claim to order their beans from companies who are certified organic. If Bruin Radio has time, we plan to submit a public information request from the City of Brookings to see if the city has a business license for the Chetco Coffee Roasters. So there has been a lot of talk going around about the bathroom situation, where there are signs above the normal bathroom signs saying that anybody can go into those bathrooms that identify as that gender. I would like to talk a little bit more about that because
there has been some confusion.
We're not saying that heterosexual males that do not identify as females can go into the women's bathroom. We do not believe that is what we are saying.
No.
And we're sorry if that is what it came off as. But that's not what we're saying at all. And we're really sorry if this makes you feel uncomfortable, but sometimes uncomfort times are called for. We are not making the bathrooms gender neutral. We are making it only for people who identify as that. We're trying to make them feel more comfortable with going into the their gender-specific bathroom that they feel most comfortable in. So, say that you are a biological male, and you feel as if you are female. You've been on
Estrogen.
You've been on estrogen for a while now. You're looking pretty female, but everybody knows that your biological sex is male. And then you go into the male's bathroom because you don't feel comfortable going into the girl's bathroom. You might get harassed as you go in there, being called horrible, horrible names that shouldn't ever cross anybody's mouths. And that makes them feel uncomfortable. They start feeling worse about themselves as they go through this process of becoming who they truly feel they are. And we don't want that for anybody. We just want somebody to feel comfortable with going into their bathrooms and
feeling safe in this space. That
people come to this school to feel safe, not to feel harassed or made fun of. And we would like to make that happen. We just need the public's help with that to make this happen. We want you all, since this is
such a tight community,
we want everybody to feel safe no matter what. Since this is No Hate Speech Week, I feel like we should all make a difference this week and any other week at any time. This is the emergency announcement system.
This is the emergency theatric system. Broadcasting to you straight from Brookings Harbor High School.
We're here to tell you today that this is not an emergency, but it might as well be. On January the 19th at 6 p.m. in the school auditorium, there will be some funny acts going on there. I hope I can see all of you guys there.
Admissions are free, but donations are very happily accepted.
That is the end of the emergency theatric system.
You're about to hear the shortened version of another outstanding Bruin Radio interview. To hear the full discussion with minimal editing, visit the KCIW website or the high school radio page and listen to the online version of our show.
Hello, listeners. This is Bruin Radio. We are here today to interview two organizers of the upcoming Brookings Harbor Women's March.
Hello, I am Teresa Lawson, and I'm a member of the publicity team for the Brookings Harbor Women's March.
Yes, hi, and I'm Rose Mantle, also a member of the publicity team for the Brookings Harbor Women's March.
Bruin Radio is being represented by Bridget Mitchell and
Jeremy Pettiner and
Ivan Mann.
Can you tell us about the history of the Brookings Women's March?
Last year, I had been in Brookings for about 6 months. We moved here in May, maybe, I guess, 7 months. And I was at a luncheon for a progressives group, and someone mentioned the National March that was going to happen in Washington on January 21st, the day after the inauguration, and wished that we could do something local. This was on the Saturday before the march. And I said, well, why don't we just put it in the paper and see if anyone comes? And basically, we put it in the paper, just in the bulletin section, but they were going to write an article because Port Orford had already organized a march. And so it ended up being a little article in the paper and in the bulletin board section. And people started posting it on social media, and we were hoping to have 50 people. We thought that would be amazing. We would meet at the Democratic office, make posters, and then march. We had 275, and they were just like coming. It was like one of those scenes where people just keep coming and coming, and people were making signs on the sidewalk. They were making them on cars. Port Orford had between 200 and 300. I've heard several numbers, so I don't want to diminish their numbers. And it was just an amazing event. It went together really quick. This year, we're doing a lot more with publicity and planning and organizing it. So I don't know if we'll have any more, but we got all of the marches across the country last year had attendance that was almost unbelievable. People really felt strongly about a lot of issues.
Yeah, this is Rose. I was in the city of Sonoma for last year's march. Being new to Brookings Harbor, I wasn't able to attend the march here. But in Sonoma, it was the same thing. We didn't know how many people were going to turn out, and it seemed like the whole town turned out. The plaza was entirely flooded with marchers. And as it came to be learned, the Women's March last year was the single largest march in in American history. So it was truly, it turned out to be an international event as well. So like Teresa said, we don't know what this turnout is going to be, but it has been very heavily publicized.
Okay. What are the goals of this local march?
Well, the way I see it, for me personally, I mean, everybody maybe brings their own history to it, but I feel it's about bringing awareness to the people about the importance of active citizenship, about taking part in the way you want your government to be. You know, we look at the statistics for people who vote, and it's just appalling. I don't even know what it is, but I think it's less than 50% of the country votes. So this particular march, my emphasis is on let's get involved. Let's all vote. In fact, the National Women's March website, their hashtag is Power to the Polls 2018. So, I mean, I could go on and on about all the, you know, equality issues and rights issues and women's issues. But for me personally, it's about getting people to realize they need to get out of their comfort zone.
There's a lot of issues on the national level, the state level, and the local level. And I think that marches are a great way for people to get together, share ideas, express their opinion. I really feel like they're at the heart of democracy. In the 60s and 70s, when there were a lot of political hotbed issues, there were marches all the time. We've seen it in news footage. When people have something to say, they're gonna stand up and say it.
Why are you calling this a march, a women's march, when you say that the issues are like there are issues with like voting numbers and such?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. The fact of the matter is that the Women's March was actually created by a group of activists in for the Women's March on Washington. So they actually named it. And I think the name came about largely in response to the election of our new president, and who was very famous for making misogynistic statements, and some of his policies and behavior were very abhorrent to women across the board. Mm-hmm. So the Women's March remains the Women's March, but most importantly, it's not just about women. It's about all rights, okay. Not just women's rights.
Okay. What does the phrase human rights mean to you?
Human rights is a big basket. I think that includes everything. That anyone holds valuable, whether it's their religious rights, their reproductive rights, their gun rights, all of the rights that are written into our Constitution. We have one thing that I have come to believe in the last few years, because politics have been so divided and so out there, you can't escape it. Our Constitution and our framers of the Constitution were extremely insightful. And the way that we have taken that Constitution and preserved it for human rights is pretty amazing. It's not easy, though. It's very difficult to have a working democracy.
I agree with that, Teresa, but I will also say that aside from when you mention a term like human rights, we're talking globally. Human rights are those rights that we have simply by the nature because of the fact that we are human. One of the first documented, I think, definitions of human rights came about through the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948. And if I may read just a brief description of that, they include cultural, economic and political rights, such as a right to life, liberty, education, and equality before law, right of association, belief, free speech, information, religion, movement, and nationality, most importantly, that cannot be created by or taken away by any government.
Okay.
They're inherent rights.
Okay. If I may pull something out of this specifically,
please.
Right to life, what do you mean by that, if you could elaborate?
Wow, that's a very big question, because what immediately comes to mind for me is the question of whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was the intent of the question.
I was just kind of an elaboration on what that really meant.
It depends on the context in which you would be using that expression, I believe.
Okay.
Kind of hard to answer for me.
So would that be the right for a police officer to shoot somebody or not, or the right to someone to say if I wanted to save my life in a car accident versus accidentally hit somebody, type of thing like that? Are you talking about something like that, or are you talking about some sort of abortion type of thing, where someone has a choice to either give someone a life or take it away?
Good question. Yeah, right to life. I think it's, protection of your actual living self and it can be jeopardized by any number of situations. So
when one person's right to life creates a danger to another person's right to life, that's just inherent in society. And so if a policeman shoots someone because he feels that his life is in danger or other people are, that's a very tough call. But then sometimes people get it wrong. You have to make judgments in a very short amount of time. And you can also say that in war, is it appropriate or is it okay to kill civilians or even other soldiers, if you want to take it that far, to justify the end result and pursue whatever agenda that military exercise has? Right to life is very complicated, and hopefully we can honor as many rights at the same time.
Yeah, to try to find where the justice lies, and that's, I think, the eternal challenge for we humans.
If you may, I would like to ask a a heavy question, if that's okay.
Of course.
What is the Women's March opinion on abortion?
Well, I can only speak for my perceptions of what that may be, and I would say that the majority of women's rights activists are most, you would find them on the side of pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that it's my body, my choice.
On your Facebook page, you mentioned reproductive rights. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means something personally to me, but as the Women's March and our Facebook page goes, I think that women's rights usually include reproductive rights. And for some people, that means that you should still fight to not have abortion legal, if that is how someone feels. And there are women that feel that way. The majority of women in our country, polls have showed, do believe in choice. I am pro-choice. Abortion is the one issue that I can understand from the other side. I totally understand how someone has a real problem with abortion being legal. As a pro-choice person, and I'm talking for myself personally, I also, though, feel that a lot of the things that are done to limit abortions and make them difficult for people are just dirty politics. And I feel that that is making abortion so hard to get when it is a national law, and making people have to drive 12 hours to get to a clinic because they've imposed so many regulations, I personally find that very difficult to accept. I do understand how abortion is a very difficult issue for people, and that unborn child has value. And I do understand that. But I don't understand, this is the kicker. Most people that are pro-life and adamantly pro-life also support capital punishment. And to me, the two are very similar. If we can have capital punishment and kill people who committed crimes, and the statistics prove it doesn't really reduce criminal activity, so why are we doing it? And yet, and a lot of times the people that are real pro-life are also not extremely sympathetic with an unborn child being born into poverty and the support that that child and that parent is going to need. A lot of times abortions happen because people just can't afford a child. Mm-hmm. And adoption, yes, that's an issue, or that's an option, but there are a lot of issues with adoption too. Right. So it's loaded. The Women's March is about women. A lot of women, reproductive rights are, you know, we have the babies, we have to carry them. It's just the way it is. It's a big issue for women.
Right. If I may, this one's not, it's a short question, but it's not really a small question. Do you consider the child while still in the woman, like unborn, to be human, like you and me, living, breathing creatures, I guess you could say?
Well, they haven't taken a breath yet.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I'll be real honest with you. I don't know how to answer that. Mm-hmm. I think that there's lots of circumstances. A good friend of mine had a baby at 6 months gestation. So Matthew was 3 months premature when he was born, and he lived. And, you know, I watched him in the NIC unit, and I am pro-choice, but I feel like it's such a personal decision that I certainly don't want to make that for anyone. Just like I'm not going to decide what religion someone should practice. There's lots of things I don't want to decide for someone else.
Yeah. I think abortion should be rare, and I think contraception should be not rare. You know, I think there should be a lot more emphasis on contraception, particularly amongst people who are not in favor of a woman's right to choose. Mm-hmm. Because that way, I mean, contraception, let's face it, certainly will eliminate a lot of abortions if it was practiced more widely.
For our listeners who do not know, what is contraception?
Well, contraception is the use of birth control methods to prevent pregnancy.
Okay.
Well, I got a question for you guys. Same topic, but, like, different question. I was going to ask, when do you guys think it's okay for abortion to, you know, take place?
I think that it's the woman's choice based on all of her life factors, mm-hmm. to a certain point of gestation, obviously. I don't approve of just aborting a fetus at 8 months gestation when it could live outside the womb very easily. But that doesn't happen. That is like the most outrageous example of an abortion. I'm not saying it never happens, but I think that you would be hard pressed if you talked to every abortion doctor in this country to even find 5 instances of that happening. I could be wrong, but it is extremely rare. So yes, at some point the fetus is viable, and I don't know where that point is. I leave that up for the courts to decide. I don't have a great answer because that's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
That's why I want it to be a free choice for the person to decide.
Who is allowed to join this march?
Everyone.
Anyone. As long as they're peaceful and respectful in the process.
We hope for lots of dogs and babies and strollers. It makes the march fun.
And lots of men.
So I got a top question after that. Why do you think men join the Women's March?
I think men join the Women's March because they support the beliefs that the women have for the reasons that they're marching. The things they want to change in society, the kinds of legislations they want to see happen or not happen, like protecting our public lands, indigenous people's rights, equality, Black Lives Matter. I mean, it's a potpourri of issues that could appeal to either men or women.
And we had a lot of men in the march last year. It's called a women's march, like Rose said, because women organized it. And it involves all human rights. You know, women's rights are human rights. That is one of the slogans. And so it applies to all of us.
But I would just have to add, I think we'd be disingenuous not to point out that a lot of the reason women, you know, became activists at this particular time in history is that there is a change going on in society, and it was brought to the forefront by a lot of comments that were made available to the general public during the race for president. And, you know, you see it in the Me Too movement. I don't know if everybody's aware of that, but, you know, so many prominent men are losing their livelihoods because they have participated in sexual assault, which has been covered up. And so, again, that's a very, very strong women's topic. And women are very sick of having to sublimate and not talk about these things that have happened to them and that are happening to them every day in their jobs and in their personal lives. So I think the Women's March, you know, there's a lot of contemporary things happening for women that beyond all the equality issues.
There is a difference between women and men and things that are important to them, even though we try to respect the other gender. And women have a sensitivity as nurturers and have been involved in a lot of the right the human rights issues around the globe. And one good example is Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. You guys have probably heard of this. It doesn't get as much notice now, but Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, drunk driving in the 70s was considered, that's what people do. I mean, it really wasn't that prosecuted. And there were laws on the books. They weren't strict. And it was kind of, if you knew people, you could get out of it. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving was formed. I think one mother's child got killed by a drunk driver and found out that the punishment was a slap on the wrist. It wasn't severe. This person had done this before, and outrage and awareness came about. So Mothers Against Drunk Drivers is why we have drunk driving laws the way we do in this country. So not to say that men aren't great. I think men are wonderful, and but sometimes it just takes a women's touch to get things going.
Good point. And I love the acronym for that group, MADD.
Mad.
Oh, I you knew you had to say I thought of that as mod, but mad makes more sense.
What are some rights that men have in America that women do not have?
Men and women on the books have equal rights in America for the most part. One of the things that's happened recently with the Me Too movement is showing that power creates a situation where there is inequality between all kinds of people. It's not just a man and a woman, but power creates a situation where others' rights are sometimes not respected and honored. So on the surface, I don't think there is a difference, and in the law. But I think in practice, there are times where we just are still battling with trying to provide rights to all people equally in all ways, whether it's by race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or many other factors. And it's a difficult thing.
And then you look at some statistics. Women are underrepresented in government. Women make up nearly 51% of the population, but only 20% of the U.S. Congress is comprised of women. Now, arguably, that's not a right that's not being, you know, that's being stifled. It's just a fact. You have to look at the underlying causes. Retired women are twice as likely as retired men to live in poverty. Why is that? You know, these are the kinds of questions I think we have to ask.
Women get more college degrees now than men because they have to earn a decent wage. Men can go out and do jobs that don't require a college degree that pay a lot higher. Why does a worker that's working on construction get paid maybe $25 an hour straight out of college or high school, yet a secretary working in an office may only get 12 or 13 an hour? And I'm just kind of using general terms. There's a big disparity there.
Thank you. What is the source for the statistics that you have brought up?
Actually, thank you for asking. I do apologize. I did not bring my sources with me. I did a search on the internet. One of them, which is actually didn't mention, I believe, is although the pay gap is narrowing, women in the U.S. working full and part-time make 84% of what their male counterparts earn. That was according to Pew Research Center. So I don't have any additional sources.
Do you, as organizers of the Women's March, believe that women are being oppressed?
It certainly seems so when you look at some of the statistics, which I can't cite now, but we've heard them, that there's a pay gap between women and men. Women are underrepresented in government. Female soldiers face rape and harassment. And there's many other things like retired women are twice as likely as retired men to live in poverty. And some of those disparities, the Equal Rights Amendment was brought into being to help make those things less likely to occur. The Equal Rights Amendment still has not passed. There haven't been enough states who have ratified it. But I'm just going to maybe wrap that up with this quote from Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she says, if I could choose an amendment to add to the Constitution, it would be the Equal Rights Amendment. I think we have achieved that through legislation. But legislation can be repealed. It can be altered. So I would like my granddaughters, when they pick up the Constitution, to see that notion that women and men are persons of equal stature. I'd like them to see that is a basic principle of our society. And I would like to see that, too. And I think that's one of the goals of the Women's March is to say, everybody says, well, we have equal rights. In what way do women not have equal rights? Well, let's ratify the Equal Rights Amendment and make it a lot less likely that these disparities will continue.
In the United States, and I would argue in the world, I think almost all minorities are oppressed.
Yeah.
In every society. It's not just women, but when there is a minority, even though we're the majority, there are more women that are in the United States than men, but in the workplace, we're a minority. And traditionally, white males have been the power in positions of power in government, in business. When I look at pictures of our Senate or our Congress, anything that has to do with Washington, I see a lot of white men in suits, and it's just glaring. Women have been in the workforce since the 1970s in droves, and it shouldn't still be that way. But women aren't the only ones that are oppressed. Minorities are oppressed. People with disabilities are oppressed. People who have a hearing loss and speak with their hands and get made fun of. Why is this still okay? People just seem to like to stick to their own kind and judge others. And I think that bringing up everyone's rights and human rights, just treat everyone the way you want to be treated.
I just want to make one more practical comment about women's equality or lack thereof in the workforce, et cetera, et cetera. And there's that expression, biology is destiny, which I take to mean in this case, we women are the ones that bear children. We can't be out there in the workforce, you know, when you're 9 months pregnant and have two or three little toddlers running around. It's just the way it is. And major steps have been made by women to get education and to secure childcare. So many issues. That's another issue. Affordable childcare. How else can a woman devote 60 hours a week to a new career and be raising the babies at the same time? And it's going to take a lot of men becoming more enlightened and more participatory in rearing of children. There's so many factors we could go on forever, but I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of where we're coming from regarding some of the things that women are challenged with that men aren't.
And for the child care, I personally had one child and a very supportive backup system. So I didn't feel like my job or my career was very affected by being a mother. Yet I definitely saw men who were performing at lower levels than I was being promoted and the good old boy network being in place. I worked very long hours. I did not take off. My child was not sick much. I didn't have a lot of the trappings of motherhood in my career life, but I still felt like the guys got a better break. They did.
So that was the universal struggle.
Yeah.
What are indigenous rights?
Well, I actually can answer that just by having read a little bit today. I wrote down, indigenous rights are those rights that exist in recognition of the specific condition of indigenous peoples. This includes not only the most basic human rights of physical survival and integrity, but also the preservation of their land, language, religion, and other elements of cultural heritage
that are a part of their existence as a people.
And Indigenous rights are where discrimination and oppression started in this country. The natives were here. The white man came over from Europe. I was in Port Orford last Saturday, and there's Battle Rock Park. There's this big rock out there. And I was saying, I wonder, you know, what that rock, what the significance of it is and why it's called Battle Rock. And then I went over and I read the little plaque and I started laughing because about 9 white men had came down in a ship and had tried to come ashore and overtake the locals. I don't have the date. I think it was in 1800 and some. And the locals pushed them back, and these 9 men were stranded on that rock, and it's a rock, for 2 weeks before they could escape. And then somehow they got out. Yeah, look this up. I mean, it's fun history right in our backyard. And I just laughed when I read it. I go, I would have loved to have seen those 9 men stuck out there on that rock for 2 weeks. We gotcha. And then later, the sad part is they got away. They didn't come ashore, but they came back in a few months with about 70 or 80, and they settled Port Orford. So next time you're going up the coast and you're in Port Orford, you can stop and read that little plaque and you'll remember this story.
Of course. So should all Indigenous and cultural practice be preserved?
Whenever possible.
I agree.
And that's the problem with preserving and protecting any right or culture. What if... back in the peace pipe days of the Indians, and then we had laws against smoking illicit drugs, and now we're kind of moving back. And but there's probably still a lot of things besides marijuana that they smoked in those peace pipes that aren't legal in our country. And is it okay if an ancient culture or tradition causes harm to another human being? Then you get into the same thing like with abortion. Whose rights take over someone else's rights? So whenever possible, I would say, yes, it makes all of our, our society richer.
Right, enriches all of us.
What does the Women's March feel about Hillary Clinton?
Okay, since you looked at me, I'll take this. I would just say that the Brookings Harbor Women's March has no specific a position when it comes to Hillary Clinton's loss of the election. And I think for most of us in the march, we're looking ahead. We have no interest in relitigating her loss of the presidency. As to how each individual woman in the march feels about Hillary Clinton, feelings are one thing. You know, facts and statistics and what's really going on are another thing. I'm sure there's a lot of rage still and a lot of frustration by Hillary Clinton supporters, as is there's still a lot of angst about Bernie Sanders not being the nominee. Yeah. So I think it's a very good question, but I would like to believe, I personally believe, that that's history. I want to move forward. I want to stop rehashing history and look to the future. And I'm certainly hopeful that the Democrats can find a very strong candidate for 2020.
Yes. If I may ask a follow-up question that, we've touched on this a little bit before, but I'd like to get, at least a little bit, more in depth. What's the Women's March feel about President Trump?
It was started because of President Trump. Oh. I mean, the Women's March was organized to happen in Washington on Saturday after he was inaugurated on Friday last year in response to women's issues that we felt he was not sensitive to or going to be proactive in protecting and expanding for many reasons. And I don't want to get into Trump bashing. Mm-hmm. I really had hoped that he would be more inclusive. I haven't seen that. My personal feeling is I have not seen that. And I think that the Women's March this year is just as important or more important because he has had a whole year in the office. And I like to march for what I believe in, not what I'm against. Take a positive. I believe in healthcare access. I believe in childcare. I believe in education. I believe in helping all of our citizens to reach their highest potential and to make America even greater than I believe it already is.
Excellent. And, you know, about Trump, I, you know, the thing that's very disheartening to me in our current political climate is that it seems to be like a, what do you call it, a personality kind of contest, and it's, I'm not against Trump. I'm against his policies. I'm for policies that he's not for. And that's the way, as Teresa mentioned, I like to operate. It's absolute, and I'm so sick of the arguing back and forth on social media about, and all the nasty things that are said about Trump, all the nasty things that have been said about Hillary. It's totally unproductive and really, I think, beneath the dignity of all of us.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why is the starting location for the march the Curry County Democrats' office?
Well, the Curry County Democrats' office is being used for sign making and button making. Actually, the march is going to start from the Redwood Theater because we had so many people last year that we have talked to the owners of the Redwood Theater and we have rented it from 10 till 11:30 to gather everyone. They can make signs in the large theater and we can have some videos and some music up on the screen. We might even have a slideshow from last year's march. It is not sponsored by the Democrats, but the Democrats are very supportive of the march. I hope that all political factions come to the march. The problem in today's society is that we are all so divided and you have to be all one or all the other and we don't talk anymore. And so I know this probably won't happen, but it would be wonderful if that march were half Republicans and half Democrats because it really is all of our rights. And I do not see it as a Democratic march.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, but I also think it would be kind of skirting the reality to a certain extent. The reason you asked the question why is it starting at the, you didn't ask why it's starting, if we're starting at some other location, you know, and, you know, I would venture to guess that 90% of marchers are either going to be Democrats or independents. I don't think we're going to have the Make America Great people out there. I don't think we're going to have the Tea Party people out there. Mm. We are divided. There's some, you know, huge chasms in the way we see things as people. But I strongly believe that what most of us want as human beings are the same things. You know, we want to be able to work at, you know, jobs that are fulfilling. We want a decent rate of pay. We want to feel safe in our homes. We want to protect nature that we love. So, yes, we are started at the Democrats' office because a lot of the organizational efforts, as Teresa mentioned, are taking place at the Curry Dems office. And, of course, the Curry Dems are behind the march 100%.
Yes.
Okay, I got a question. Why are some Democrats sitting out, do you think?
Sitting out from voting?
Like march or voting or just like in general. Like, why do you think they're not voting for a Democratic president versus a Republican?
Some people are kind of agnostic when it comes to politics. They're just like, politics is just a big old crazy world where people argue. And that is one of the reasons I hope that we can gain the attention of the public and just say, listen, this affects you. It affects all of us. I as to why some people aren't marching, I believe there's probably some Democrats who just think, oh, what a bunch of nonsense. And that's their right to their opinion. And some people aren't prone to activism. They think it's just sort of gaudy and silly. Those are just some of the thoughts off the top of my head. But I strongly believe that if more of us participated in our communities and felt an obligation to make this country a better place for all of us, whether it's for Republican causes or Democratic causes, it would be a better place to live because we'd be working together. We'd be out there, you know, not segregated like we are.
This week, I had a phone conversation with someone who used to be a Democrat and is now a Trump supporter. And I called him on his birthday. He was 77. And he was a lifelong Democrat for a long, long time. And I made a Trump joke, and he's like, never, never, I'll never be a Democrat again. And he's very stuck in his ways. And there's no discussing with him. And I find that over and over again, we're so divided, and it's really sad. And because I know this person, it's even sadder to me that he's dug in so deep. But for your generation, mm-hmm. for the younger ones, listen to each other. Don't become polarized. Mm-hmm. We didn't used to be this way, the grown-ups. If you listen to some of the people that have been in Congress and hear how they talk about how things used to happen, John McCain has gave some incredible speeches. My favorite Republican right now is John McCain. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a lot to say that is very important, but I don't see most people in our Congress listening to him and acting the way he has said they should. So as you listen to your generation and continue to talk, and I hope that you guys can change, because it's bad and people really do seem to be stuck and they just have an opinion and that's it. And with social media, they can go online and they can just pick out the news that they believe in. Mm-hmm. And they don't fact check. They don't look at the whole picture. And liberals do it too. It's not one-sided. I have liberal friends that come up with some things. I'm like, really? Let's fact check that.
Where did you find that?
Yeah, where did you find that? Go fact check it. And if you have friends that say something that you wonder about, set up, you know, correct them. And use a good research tool to, you know, look at several sources. And what are you finding? And what are those sources? Who's their backer? How are they financed? That's what medical research does. When a medical study's presented, you have to say who funded this research, because that can be very biased also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So follow the money. Remember that term? It's mm-hmm. really true.
I just wanted to throw in one more thing about the divisiveness between Republicans and Democrats. And as you were mentioning John McCain, I remember a time, it was 1970, that was the first Earth Day, April 1970. I was just graduating from high school, and it was so inspiring. It was nonpartisan. Now, environmental issues were called tree huggers on the left. You know, John McCain was one of the greatest environmental proponents of his time. And why did that become a divisive issue? Some of this stuff just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. One other thing I wanted to say, I do have great empathy for many Trump supporters, because I think what they're seeing happen in America is the rapid advancement of technology is leaving a lot of them behind. Blue-collar workers, there's just not as much demand, manufacturing, whatnot, and they're seeing their livelihood and their opportunities shrinking. And the government isn't doing right by them by creating new training programs or offering, you know, incentives to enter new, you know, lines of work. So I just think if we could stop being mad at each other for just a few minutes, we could accomplish wonderful things together in this country. And I still do believe that America offers the best opportunity in the world to lead a good life. So none of this, like, Women's March stuff, believe me, is anti-American, at least from where I'm coming from.
Okay. Well, you can see this. What we learned in government and economics is that, like, the Supreme Court, like, the judges and things like that, they can be, like, up to, like, 97, and, like, they can be a hardcore Republican for their whole lives and think a certain way and not think of anything else, and mm-hmm. they could only pass certain things mm-hmm. for the whole country, so...
Yeah, and judges are supposed to be non-activists. They're supposed to just look at the facts and the, right. you know, the yeah. judicial, you know. So, there's a lot of...
But concern. We're all people, and we have feelings, and facts are not black and white. I was very involved with the local tree issue recently in Azalea Park, and it's the same facts that we all saw. But I sat down with the mayor... Sunday at 4:00, I'll have to give kudos to our mayor. I said, I'm still having a hard time with this one. And I'm president of Azalea Park Foundation and have been very involved with the trees. And we sat down and talked. And I still was kind of upset when I left that he wasn't more sympathetic. And then I realized, I thought about some of the things he said. And he and I read the same facts on the trees. I mean, scientific experts commented on these trees and the azaleas, and he had a different takeaway than I did. And then I understood why he felt the way he did. I didn't see it that way, but I can understand why he did, just like on pro-choice. I can sympathize with the other position, but it was hard to discern where he was coming from. But we just sat down and we really talked. We respect each other. And I still didn't understand. I went home and I was trying to think about it. And I was really having a hard time. And then the light bulb just went off. And I'm like, I know where Jake's coming from. I understand. And I respect his decision mm-hmm. and his opinion.
If I may, what is the Women's March opinion on transgenders, because this is a women's march, but I'm just curious.
They need our support. Transgender is a hotbed issue that is just coming out. I personally, 10 years ago, thought, that's a pretty rare thing. And I didn't give it a lot of thought. And as we become more aware of people coming out and explaining how they felt their whole lives, I mean, people are people. And
it's real. I mean, I was the same way as you. I thought this was sort of a fringe kind of trendy thing. But gender fluidity is something that's, I mean, I know all these people aren't just making it up. I have to think back to gay rights when there was a time when if you were gay, you did not come out about it. You were in the closet. And that's another, there were marches and marches and a lot of awareness brought to the fact that people don't want to have to live lives that are not true to themselves. So, you know, however we feel personally about something, it might be something that turns one of or several of us off individually, but that's the time to pull back and say, judge not. It's hard to know what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes. As far as legislating those kinds of things with bathrooms and so forth, mm-hmm. That creates a huge challenge for, a bureaucracy, but that's why people are paid to work those things out. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Thank you.
I have a question for you guys, because I think that the transgender subject,
this is interesting.
You have grown up with this.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. all the statistics say that the younger generations, even the real conservative younger people, are totally pro-gay rights. and very, you guys do not see the gay issue like your parents did. You're a lot more accepting.
And you're more, you're pro-race, post-racial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes to transgender, I don't see what the bathroom issue really is or why it should be a big deal. If somebody feels, in my opinion, people are politicizing the bathroom issue to get people worked up.
It's a liberal issue.
They're creating issues where there shouldn't be. Why should it matter if someone goes into a bathroom? If they're comfortable in that bathroom, shouldn't we all be okay with it?
I see where you're coming from, exactly where you're coming from, because we're having this issue here at Brookings Harbor High School where some people are not wanting to go to the bathroom at all here because they're afraid of what people might think of them or something like that. We're having a little bit of an issue in that area, and we're trying to make them feel more comfortable by putting up signs saying, hey, this is okay for you to go into this bathroom. And we're trying to be so nice about it, but some people just stay in this state of mind. And it is people of my generation that are doing this, where they're staying in this state of mind where they just can't let them see the side that they that we see from.
So what is the policy at Brookings Harbor High School?
Why don't you see very many young people in the Women's March anymore?
I think in the larger cities you do. And younger people have traditionally not been that engaged in voting. And I think partly our democracy worked better in the past at certain times in history than it has recently. And I think that the younger generation is getting aware and concerned. And we actually had a pretty good amount. I didn't do the stats on it for the march last year. And hoping now we're getting it really spread across social media, which is where your generation and people in their 20s get their information. So come and see. Bring your friends and let's see how many other, you know, 20-year-olds and young 30-year-olds we can get there.
I'm 18, aren't I?
We're working on that.
You young people are exceptional. I love your intellectual curiosity, your burning questions, and you want to know what this is all about. And I remember being young and being so passionate, particularly about the Vietnam War. Took part in a lot of marches against that. You know, civil rights, those are just heartbreaking times with the assassinations. I mean, the world's an exciting place, you know, and it's so easy of us to just get in our comfort zones with our little iPhones and, you know, looking at it. It's like, it's almost hard to turn it off, but the real world, the real life issues need you guys. We need young people. You're the future. So whether you are for or against the Women's March, make yourselves known. I'd love to see you.
What I would say, most of the teachers have commented on or, like, have statements on is, like, don't stay in this snow globe that we all live in. Like, don't stay in your comfort zone.
Okay,
like,
great.
This is, like, a, like, snow globe, per se. Like everyone's, like, subjective about their own opinions. Mm-hmm. They don't want to bring them out to everybody else and so on and so forth.
It's a small town, and there's a little danger in coming out and saying, I take a stand for this, because you're going to alienate some of your friends. You're going to, it's important. It's important to care. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the problems with trying to voice your opinion very strongly when you have a minority is when you actually say, hey, I support this thing, you have a wave of people say, shut up, or say backlash, or all kinds of stuff, like whether it be creative, constructive criticism or just straight bashing.
And to that point, this happened before I moved here, but I have heard that the Democratic office on Chetco has had their windows shot out.
Oh, shot out?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
Yes.
And I know of a woman who had her car windows broken because she had, I believe it was a Hillary sticker. This was more recently in the last election.
Yeah.
on her car in the Fred Meyers parking lot. So as we all know, statistics, this county is more red. And I saw plenty of Trump posters in everyone's yard when I moved here, because I moved here right before the election. I didn't feel comfortable putting a Hillary poster in my yard.
You want to make enemies right away.
Or a bumper sticker on my car. And that shouldn't be. We should be able to say what we believe. And that's the heart of the democracy of America, is that we can all have our opinions and still get along. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. What support does the Women's March organization provide for you?
Well, I would say virtually none. I mean, that might not sound realistic, but the number of times I've gone to the main Women's March site, I can count on one hand. The sister marches, as we call them, that have spread across the country since the original Women's March on Washington last year, are basically those community-centered marches. I have taken graphics from their site. I've gotten some, you know, really good talking points, like the one for the 2018 march, which is Power to the Polls, and, you know, been guided by some of those things. But we like to think of the Brookings Harbor Women's March as being really specific to this community and really reaching out to this community to let people know this is what we care about. If you want to know more, join us, you know, get a hold of hold of us, ask how you can get involved.
How do you feel about the Curry Pilot's coverage of last year's march?
Fantastic. I like the Curry Pilot. In fact, Dan and I fight over the paper so much that we're going to start getting two delivered to our house.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
He draws cartoons for the pilot. Oh. And so when his cartoon's in there, he likes to rip out the tear sheet before. Anyway, I think the pilot did a fantastic job last year, and I'm hoping they will this year.
If I may, who is Dan? Is that, like, your husband?
Yeah.
Okay. But I wanted to double-check that. Why aren't gun rights listed amongst the list of rights that the Women's March is in support of?
Okay, a couple of points. I tried to think of as many rights as I was, you know, going to the Sonoma March last year and going to the Brookings March from last year and seeing the things that were talked about. Gun rights, if you're talking about in support of the Second Amendment, that is not one of the main things that the Women March is in support of. That said, there are many, many, many women, people marching in the march who are for gun rights. It just, you know, certainly should be a major topic. It is a major topic nationally because of all the horrible shootings and whatnot. But, you know, there's an infinite number of things we could have mentioned, and that's a very difficult topic. And I didn't, you know, it was an omission that wasn't a conscious one. So, got left out.
Okay, I was going to say, how many Republicans do you think will take part in the march?
Not enough. I hope that there's a lot. I said earlier, it'd be great if it was 50-50. I hate how divided our country is politically. And some people will say that this march just increases that divide. Mm-hmm. I think that dialogue and conversation is the only way that we're going to come back together. We've got to stand up, and we've got to be heard, and we've got to be seen.
Would women have gained the right to vote if they hadn't marched, if the suffragist movement hadn't been as strong as it was and as relentless as it was? Possibly, but would have taken a lot longer. Same with civil disobedience that occurred during the civil rights era. So it's just, I don't expect that we're going to see many Republicans out there. We may see some saying Make America Great Again, and we will welcome them to march with us, and we can take that sign for what it means.
Mm-hmm. Would you think there would be more men in the Women's March if it wasn't listed as the Women's March?
Probably. There was a Million Men March, wasn't there, a long, long time ago?
On Washington,
yeah. If I were a man, my inclination would be, right on, ladies. You know, but that's from my perspective and my values. But you're right. I mean, it does seem maybe to a lot of men that it's exclusionary and maybe too focused on, you know, what rights don't you ladies think you have? And it might set up a little adversarial concept just in its name. So, but we want to be a part of this global movement. We don't want to separate ourselves here in Brookings Harbor. We want to latch onto that which has already been done. There's a lot of work that's being done and a lot of organizing that's being done to change the direction of a lot of legislation that's in the works now.
Yeah. Well, I said before, like, back in the old days where, like, it was wrong to see a man act like a woman or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I could say that still kind of applies today. Like, if you join something that says, like, women's rights or women's march, so on and so forth, could be almost frowned upon by if, like, a man joined that. Like, it's like, oh, you're joining a women's march. Ha, 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 ha. Like, kind of like a joking matter to some guys.
I would say that's maybe a little immature from my point of view.
If
an advertising executive had come up with a slogan for this march a year ago, it would not have been called probably the Women's March, but women organized this. Right. It was not expected to be a global, and it was global. There were marches in Australia, all over Europe. It went viral really fast, like a wildfire. And so Women's March, you know, it's an everyone's march. Just right. like I said about Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Sometimes women just take the lead.
And I would like to ask people here, I mean, the word women, I mean, women are one half of, you know, the human race. And women have a lot of wonderful qualities. And it's my personal opinion that if a lot more women were in positions of leadership, you know, nationally and globally, the world would be a better place. Women are more likely to listen and to compromise, to have empathy. And
see that as more of a gender role type thing going on there, sort of, because sometimes guys can also be like that if you find the right man.
Oh, and men are becoming more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woke. wait, hold on. Could you repeat that? What did you say?
I think women are, if there were more women running the world would be a more peaceful place. Okay.
What is your opinion? This is based off the your opinion on women being in a position of power. Women are scientifically more emotionally driven than men. Do you have anything to add when it comes to that?
That's a good point.
That's why they could be better when it comes to peaceful solutions. Mm-hmm. They don't want to, I mean, killing innocent people might be more sympathetic to that. So would they lose the war because they were worried about killing people? And, you know, it's a sweet spot on how you approach anything.
It's a very good point.
What's your source, Jeremy?
I could just Google that, actually.
Yeah, you certainly can, and we may encourage you to do that after the interview is done. Okay. Let's continue with ours.
I will do that.
We're supposed to be lightning round. I think lightning we're all round. Having
Tell us about some of the signs we should expect to see at the Women's March.
Okay, well, there's countless signs. Some of them I feel are a little off-putting. I won't mention them here, but they're very...
Would you please elaborate? I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but would you mind...
No, I'm just saying that I don't know of any of the women that in this particular march would be carrying them anyway. Oh. You know, I actually don't. I'd rather stick to the ones.
There was one last year that said, I grab back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like
that's
the more
a reference to the
yes. I like yes. the more positive signs. And my suggestion would be come and find out. If you don't want to join the march, sit across the street and just watch. It's pretty fun.
But we do want to talk about some of the signs because those are fun, too. So and you guys have probably heard some of them and seen them already. A woman's place is in the resistance as opposed to a woman's place is in the home. This one I read recently, I don't know if anybody's going to carry it. Privilege is when you think something is not a problem because it's not a problem to you personally. This one's kind of funny and silly. We are the granddaughters of the witches they could not burn. We care about education. We care about human rights. We care about freedom of the press. Support journalists. I like support journalists. Freedom of the press. One of my very strong beliefs. I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I can no longer accept.
I think you're just kissing up the whole journalist thing right now. No.
I come from a family of journalists. It's Mueller time. As opposed to it's Miller time.
Who's Mueller?
Robert Mueller, who's heading up the some of the investigations.
The special investigation into
Trump's collusion with Russia.
Oh, okay.
And it's
and everything that gets brought up because of that, whether it's money laundering or who knows what.
Please give us the details for the Brookings Harbor Women's March.
It will be, the march itself will start at 11 and will leave from the Redwood Theater on January 20th. That's a Saturday. But you can come at 10 o'clock to the Redwood Theater and we will have sign material and some, we're calling it a rally. We're going to have some videos and music on the screen. Some people might speak for very short periods of time, no speakers. Also on Friday, you can come to the Democratic office from 10 till 4 and make signs and buttons for the march so that some people might want to make their signs and spend more time on them than just the hour that we're going to have at the Redwood Theater. Parking, there's a great large parking lot across the street that you use when you go to the movie. There's also another parking lot behind the central building. So I don't see that parking should be a big issue. And we are going to be marching up and down Chetco. The exact parade or march route is going to be determined by the amount of people we have and the weather. So at the time, people are organized to lead the march, and we might have two groups, one going this way, one going this way, one going on this side of the street and that side of the street, but it's basically going to be on Chetco. To recap, the march will be on Saturday, January 20th, and we'll start at 11, but at 10 o'clock, the rally starts, and you can make signs.
So this has been Teresa Lawson and Rose Mantle on the Bruin Radio. And I was Bridget Mitchell and
Jeremy Painter and
Ivan Mann.
Thank you guys for coming. We loved having you here. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And if I might just add one more thing, if anybody has any additional questions about the Women's March that we haven't covered in this extensive interview, please feel free to stop by the Curry Democrats office, Chetco Avenue. It's a very welcoming place. There's cookies, there's tea. People are there ready to answer any and all questions you might have about the march.
Awesome. Thank you.
I heard cookies.
Oh, man. I heard tea. Oh my.
I'm just into food.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.